Gaz, the beat maker.
Living unapologetically.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Unapologetically Living. I am your hostess, Lady B. We are rolling right on through. I hope you enjoyed my last guest that I had on. She definitely will be back. As now, no further ado, I'm going to introduce my new guest this week. You all seen her a few weeks ago when I first launched last month. I had to bring her back. I know that's favoritism. I'm going to stop it. But with no further ado, Lady Shin, she is the owner of Picky Pickles, and she also is going to let you know about some new business endeavors that she have. I'm going to let her break the news of her new business venture. Shin, let them know what's going on with you.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me back. So as you all know, my name is Shin Rhonda. Everyone calls me Shin. As Celie has already stated, I am the owner of the Picky Pickles here in Houston, Texas. I have a mentorship program that I started back in my hometown, which is St. Louis, Missouri. As I transitioned and moved to Houston, I wanted to make it a little bit more worldwide. So I wanted to start it up. I wanted to start a podcast. So that will be launching December the 1st. thank you. For updates and more things to come, you can just check me out on my personal page is Shin_Rhonda_Joyce87. And then the Picky Pickles with the S at the end. And also for the podcast that I will be starting, you can check me out on Instagram at Shades of Girls.
Okay.
Actually, Shades of Girls 18, sorry.
Okay. I'm going to get all those links and still drop them. And I put them on my public page as well when I drop, because I'm going to drop a clip of us anyway, and then I'll put the contact so they can just click right on. Because people like, especially on Instagram, people love to just be able to click on the person.
Click, yes.
Right. They love to just be able to click on the person. Then when they get to that person, it take them wherever else they're trying to go to or whatever. All right. I am excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Welcome to the
podcast world.
Thank you. I was inspired. I was inspired by you.
Oh, thank you, love. Thank you. I always wanted to do one, but I wasn't, I was just too. Like you. I was holding myself back. And I was just like, why not? And then when I researched and I found out that it's actually a shortage of podcasters. It's a lot of podcasters, but it's like almost like 500,000 more YouTubers than it is podcasters. Especially Black podcasters, especially in our age group. We're part of the millennial generation. The millennial generation, we don't want to talk, you know. The younger generation, they're talking more than we are. We don't want to talk. Yeah, because, you know, we were raised, we had parents that were raised in the whole keep everything in the household, you know. So that's a part of it, is because how we were raised was to, not just you and I, but the millennial generation was to keep everything in the household. We don't talk about what's really good, you know.
Right.
So I was like, along with a lot of other stuff, I have to break that whole curse and start speaking out, because it's so many women.
It's needed.
It's so many women going through things, even with you, even your story, your life, it's things that people need to hear from your perspective. So I'm encouraging and rooting you on, because it's very much needed. It's needed. Yes. Okay. Well, we're going to get into some tea. I am so excited that you're back, and you'll be back for
Thank
more.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So now on the last podcast, you briefly had talked to us about you had launched a business. You had moved to Houston from the Midwest, St. Louis.
Yes.
And you are now going into the single life as a business owner, as, you know, being newly relocated. And so now bring us up to speed now. It's been over a year now, and you're actively dating now, correct?
Not at the moment I was. So when I left St. Louis, I was still married, legally married.
Okay.
But we were already separated for about at least a year and a half.
Okay.
So when I came down here, I did not expect to date. I met a couple of I met two different dudes.
Okay.
They were like total opposites, but somehow I attracted them and they attracted me. But one of them showed me that it's a lot more to life. He was a truck driver. So I went on little trips and things with him to see a lot more of Texas and things like that. And the other one, he recently had just moved to Houston also from Louisiana, and he was starting a business. He was, you know, a barber and things like that. So he was the more the entrepreneur that inspired me, like, okay, I can go ahead and do my business too. So that, as far as the dating, it wasn't bad because they were showing me two different things.
Okay.
So dating, it wasn't bad, but once I got to know one of the gentlemen, you know, then I seen the difference between St. Louis and Houston.
Okay. Okay. And okay, we're gonna get into that in a few minutes. We're gonna talk about the difference. Now, how does it feel going from being married, even though you were separated, you were still married, and going from that marriage lifestyle to now you're back dating?
Yeah.
How is it different dating now that you've been married versus back in the day when you never were married and you were dating? Do you think it's a difference now, or how you feel that you're dating dating with experience now?
It's definitely a difference. Transitioning from the married life to single or dating life, it's a big difference. One thing is that I noticed is the accountability. Me and my ex-husband, we always told each other that we was going to hold each other accountable, you know, no matter what it is. Like, if he had a preaching engagement, you know, I would stay on him, you know, what you doing, you can't do that right now. You got to stay focused. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's a hold, you know, to keep you on your feet and things like that, versus being single, it's just you.
Right.
You know,
right,
you
right,
have
right.
to be your own motivator, you know, it's nobody else, you know, rooting you on, or, you know, to have that comfort, you know, different things like that. So transitioning, I was already at a place where coming here, I was already separated from him.
Okay.
So when I was back home, once we separated and I moved into my place, and it was just me, like everybody that I knew, the church, a lot of church members, they scattered, family members, even my side and his side, we kind of split apart. So it was just me and God. And I thank God for that time, because I learned who I am, you know, and what I want and what I desire in life. So at this point, me dating, I'm okay to go ahead and date, you know, because I had that time period to where I can just focus on me and learn who I am and what I want, learn from the mistakes that I made inside of my marriage, and don't hold it in. I asked God to let me feel everything that I needed to feel. I didn't want to hold anything back. Let me feel everything, get it out. So once I made up my mind that I was going to move to Houston, I didn't want to take that with me.
Mm-hmm.
So dating now, it's scary, because you don't know what you're going to get. I'm in a whole different state now. I don't know what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. I'm used to how the guys or the men roll back in my hometown, because, you know, that's where I'm from. But coming to another state and start dating, mm-hmm. it was mind blowing. I learned a lot. I learned a lot.
I can imagine. I can, because you know I'm from the Midwest as well. You know I'm from Chicago, so I do know the Midwest have their own style, and the men are definitely different. My husband is from Chicago as well, but I do notice even being here in Houston, Texas, me in Louisiana, they move different. Their mannerism is even way different. And so that's something that you have to adapt to being from the Midwest, most born and raised. So now you're down here, but let me ask you something. Do you see yourself, do you date more now wanting to get in another serious relationship, not necessarily marriage again, but at least long term, or do you want to just have like a companion now?
Right now in the space that I am, because I'm trying to grow two different businesses and, you know, other personal things that I have going on in my life, I would like to date someone who has their own place. I have mine. I come visit you. You go home, you know, vice versa. I don't want anybody completely in my space at this point. And I want to make sure that I attract somebody who's okay with that and wanting the same thing. So
that's good. That's good. That's very good. At least I'm glad that you're at the point where you know exactly what you want, because I think a lot of women don't know what they want, and so you're receptive to whoever comes along, as long as they look attractive on the outside. And but when they start talking and they tell you what's really good with them, you don't be like, no, that ain't what I'm looking for. I can't, you know, you looking good, but I can't take you if you living with your auntie, you know, in the back room, you know. You know. So, because where I'm at this point in time in my life, I need someone that's going to pour value into me. I'm at this point in my life where I'm trying to get pick myself up and get myself to a new level. And I need someone that's either on that level with me or that you're above me and you can show me how to get to your level, you know?
Exactly. You know? If I don't know something, teach me. I'm willing to learn. It's so much more to life that you don't know. If I don't know something, I'm not going to be like, oh, I don't know what that is. No, teach me. Show me.
I agree.
Even when I was dating the truck driver, you know, it was some things like he showed me how to reverse with his truck. You know, he showed me about how to pick up a load and, you know, different things like that. And I'm fine with it. Show me.
I might want to get
a truck one day, you know, invest, you know, so I will already know, because, you know, I was open and receptive to it.
Yeah, and the trucking business is very lucrative, and you can have people doing the drop off and pick us for you, and you just got the truck you run the whole right, and you don't even, but like you say, if you know the basis, the logistics, you can run the company from at home, and you can hire your own drivers, get your own contracts for your own loads. Trucking is a very lucrative business, so I'm not mad at you, sis. So I'm glad you took notes.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me now, if now dating in Houston, what are some of the things, because, you know, it's a lot of relocation groups. It's a lot of people that's moving now that wasn't moving before. What if they're moving to Houston, they're single, what can you tell them to expect when it comes down to dating? Because, you know, here in Texas, we got men from Texas and Louisiana. And so what to expect when you meet a brother that's from Texas or Louisiana? What have been some of the things that you didn't know before you moved here in regards to the dating?
So it's definitely a difference. Even like if I go to the store and a guy look at me and something like that, it's kind of hard to tell, like, are they looking at me to, you know, flirting, or are they just stern? I go to the stove, baby, you get cat calls, you get little mama, you know what I'm saying? Here, you don't get that, you know? It's just because the area I am, but I have been to the north too, and it's still the same, you know, type of mannerism there. And I'm used to a more aggressive type of guys. One of the guys that I was dating, he actually told me that I was a little aggressive. I'm like, well, where I'm from and the type of relationships and the guys that I dealt with in my past, I had to be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more stern with them because of who they are. You know, so down here, they are definitely gentlemen. You know, they are definitely, you know, have that Southern charm and things like that. But I feel that they are a little more needy. The first thing you ask is if I want to come to your home. No, I do not. Do I want to cook for you? No. I didn't get that back home. You know, it's definitely a difference. I can definitely say
I'm laughing because I hear the same things from all my single girlfriends that's here. I told you, you're going to meet them once the pandemic slows down. I'm going to have a gathering, a ladies' night, and you're gonna see that they all say the same thing, and a lot of them are from the Midwest too, different cities, but they're from the Midwest. And even some of them that's not from the Midwest, I got girlfriends from the East Coast and the West Coast, and they say the same thing, that the men are just different down here. And that's one of the things that too, like you mentioned beginning, the cat calls, and you know, I'm from Chicago, they say, hey, Miss Lady, pretty lady. So you know, everybody is pretty lady. Hey lady, you know, you know, you used to it, but down here they don't do all that, right?
They don't.
Just like even Louisiana, they call you, if you lighter complexion, they call you red. If you're darker, they call you black. You know, but it's you're used to, you know, you can't even walk to the store without being attacked. You know.
Yes.
But here they are. I've noticed and I've heard from a lot of my girlfriends that it's a totally different approach that they had to get used to, that they wasn't used to from their hometowns as well. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is the cooking. I'm over here cracking up because it's a common thing in the South, especially here in Texas, that, you know, a date is them coming over your house and you cooking a 7-course meal for them. That's what they consider the norm down here. And where we from, you got to do a lot to get a 4-meal. You got to do a lot besides give me your number. Like, we don't just cook whole meals, you know, where we from. We don't cook whole meals just because we got each other's phone number. That ain't, no. Exactly. You got to be worthy of some greens and ham and, you know. We don't just take you from the streets and just take you home and start picking greens. We don't do that, you know. But it's common down here for them to think you're going to take them in and you're going to give them a whole meal because that's common, you know, for them to come to your home. And with you know, us being from the Midwest, we both from cities that don't play like that. Everybody can't come to your house. And definitely when you just met them. You cannot let everybody in your space. When I was single, I was notorious for meet me here. I don't even give you. I don't even tell you the exact street I live on.
I got a couple of my homegirls that's in the parking lot too. So you know what I'm saying. Or a couple of my cousins, like no.
Yes, you already know. You know how we roll. So. Those are things that I wanted my listeners, my viewers to know, that if you're moving here and you're a single woman, protect yourself. Don't meet a man and let him come to your home and you just met him, because not just for sexual reasons, but as safety reasons to protect yourself.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said giving the person too much of you too soon.
Yes.
And you don't really know them like that. And when it's when you're ready to say, okay, you're not serving me, and you get ready to let them go, now they know where you work at. They know what shift you work. They know where you live. They know what, if you have kids, what school your kids go to. They know your time frame. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Too much information.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. Meet at a park or a restaurant and different things like that, but don't meet up, have somebody come to your home. You know, that's all, you already putting yourself in a friend zone at that point. They're not going to date you. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to be in a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're giving them everything that they already probably got at home. It's just a different house.
Right. Oh, you know, that's a whole sermon. You're giving them everything. It's just a different house. Yeah. It's just a different house. They've been down that road once before. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about where you are now with your mentality. It has evolved and formed. Do you accredit that to your personality because of your experience? Or, you know, we are, for those that don't know, her and I are the same astrology sign. We're both Virgos, but I know. Shout out to all my Virgos that's listening, Virgo Nation. All the other signs do not matter. They just need to, catch up. They need to just catch up. Right. But she's a September Virgo, which they are totally different from August Virgos. I'm an August Virgo. So do you think that your sign plays a role, or you think it's just your personality of where you are? The reason why I asked was because one of my favorite YouTubers, I was watching her a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about when she was dating. She remembered one time she met this guy, and she was really attracted to him, and he was really attracted to her, and they liked each other. But when she told him her astrology sign, he said, no, I'll pass. Like, you know, no, keep your number. Like, no, ma'am, I don't need these problems in my... She's like, but wait, you know, we didn't even have a full... No, he was like, no, ma'am, you are Aries. I don't need the problems in my life. You take your number and you go live your best life, because I'm not going to be...
Well, okay. Well, maybe she dodged the bullet then, because that wasn't for her. You're right.
And
sir.
I was doing something in the kitchen, and I stopped and looked, and I was like, OMG, like, is it really people that say, like, okay, it's certain signs I'm just not going to deal with, because I know what comes with every time I meet somebody of this same astrology sign, they act the fool. So do you think that it's part of you being a Virgo, that you have a no-nonsense personality? Because, you know, we tend to tell people how we feel regardless if they want to hear it or not.
I don't just disqualify a guy just because of his sign. I do ask, you know, when I meet you, oh, when's your birthday? I figure out what your sign is when your birthday is, you know.
I know.
And what they'll ask me, do I believe in it? I'll tell them, yes, I do believe that, you know, it's a difference between your personality, and I think that it goes with your sign or whatever. Like me and Taurus, no. But I definitely wouldn't count it out, because their personality may be a little different than the last Taurus that I messed with or something like that. So I definitely wouldn't count them out. But as far as the no nonsense, yes, I have no nonsense. I'm not going to tolerate anything. I know what I want. I can tell the type of guy that you are when I first meet you. By your conversation, man, you just talked about this, your intellect, you know, by the way that you speak and carry yourself, I can tell if you're just going to be a text buddy, or if you're just going to be somebody that I go out with once, or someone that I may try to start a relationship with. So personality and your astrology sign, it can be mixed in with each other, but I wouldn't count anybody out because of their sign.
Okay, I love it. I agree, though. I did think it was kind of harsh, you know, the dude just, you know, curved her because she was an Aries, even though, you know, I got my own battle.
I wonder what his sign was. Probably a Gemini.
No. She never said what his sign Gemini. Was, but he had just straight curved her. And I was like, I wonder, do a lot of people feel like that? Like, it's just some signs, they be like, no, I can't, because of when you were born.
Yeah. But see, my mom, she's kind of like that. Like, all of her brothers are Pisces, and she get along with all of them, but they still clash. And then all of two of my mom's children are Virgos, and Sagittarius and Virgos we're like ride or die to each other, but we don't see life the same. And one of my best friends, her mom is a Virgo and she's a Sagittarius, and we compare stories all the time. We're like, oh my God, this is, it's the same. Like we ride or die, but it's a clash because we just don't view life the same.
Okay. Wow. That ain't nothing. Yeah. I just learned something today. I know, because I never came across that sad. So I didn't never knew. Oh, wow. You learn something every day. Now, wrapping up, is there anything that you would say regarding being a young Black woman in entrepreneurship, in a new city, a new state, living your best life? You're dating again after being married. So you clearly, you know, you didn't took the ceiling off, you know, you completely say, I'm not going to have this ceiling holding over my head where I got to stay in this form. I have to stay in this marriage. I got to stay in this city. I got to stay at a certain job. I could never have my own, you know what I'm saying? Right. So clearly you didn't took the ceiling off and I love it. You know, that's my big thing I tell women is, you know, take your ceiling off yourself. So is there anything you would tell a young woman that was like the old you back in your 20s? To give them that, I know, right? To give them that motivation to, I always say, I wish I had started sooner. I told my last book that I wish that I didn't wait until I was 40 to come out my shell. You know, I started last year, I'm 30 now, but still, I wish I had started when I was like in my late 20s when I was, you know, in the club, you know, but that's another story. But, you know, so is there anything that you would tell a young lady that's in her late 20s, getting ready to go into 30, like about living your best life, what you know now, how would you say that to someone else?
What I would say is, so recently I went across an old Facebook post, you know how they do the little memory thing, and one of the posts said, I was in my 20s, is I said that I wanted to work hard in my 20s so I wouldn't have to struggle in my 30s. That didn't happen, you know? So now I'm trying to work hard in my 30s so I won't have to do it as much in my 40s. You know what I'm saying? So I say just have fun. You can date, you can be in a relationship, but make sure that you focus on you. If you are not okay, or if you're not in a great head space as far as mentally, get help, therapy, anything that you can do, you know, to make sure that you focus on you so that you can be happy and be in a successful relationship and have a successful business, you know, or friendships or whatever the case may be. Just, you have to focus. You have to focus in order to make sure that you're in a great place so that you can receive the good things that you're reaching out for. As far as dating, one thing I wanted to say, as far as the B. Simone comment, I don't know if you remember that when she said that she don't want to date a guy with a 9-to-5. I understood where she was coming from. I wouldn't say no to dating a guy that has a 9-to-5. However, like she said, they wouldn't understand why I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm more creative at that time. You know, so I understood what she was saying. Don't let anybody deter you from what you want. If that's what you desire, you want an entrepreneur, or you want somebody who working 9-to-5, get it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to do that. That's what you want. That's what you desire.
I think that's very good, because that's what my whole set of my podcast is about, unapologetically living. It's just like you said, do what you want to do, what's best for you. It may not work for your girlfriend. It may not work for your mama or your auntie or whoever. They may say, girl, you know, you was at Walgreens for 10 years. Right. Stay at Walgreens and retire because they got a good dental plan or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, the crazy, you know, shit we grew up hearing. You know, people used to stay on jobs for crazy reasons and they wasn't happy. They was living check to check. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm not understanding why y'all keep encouraging the other generations to live just like y'all. You know, they stay in the same house, even though that one of the bathrooms probably didn't have running water. The floor was squeaking, but they wouldn't sell it. You know, it's like, and you can't afford to get it fixed. but you won't sell it, you know. But then you just, and you encourage other people to recycle this same foolishness.
Over, the same behaviors.
Over again.
And that's why these curses are not broken. I had a conversation with my grandmother the other day. I said, that's why so many families have split apart, and these curses over these families have not been broken, because everybody want to repeat the same cycle. You know, and don't nobody want to have a conversation about it. People just want to talk and not listen. So, but that's a whole nother topic.
Right. I see. You, did y'all hear? You see how she bringing herself back for another time again? Right. No, but I agree. Okay, and that's something we do have to talk about, because generational curses are real. Yeah. And it's something that I even had to face in my own life, in my own family, how... Mm-hmm. You figuring out, like, this stuff been going on for a while, and no one's want to talk about it, because like I told you before, we come from the generation that we was raised under, that you don't talk about stuff outside the house, you know. So, and we grow up recycling that same bad behavior. I told my guest yesterday, I told her, I said I had to unlearn everything that I learned, that I thought was okay. You know, with everything, you know, so it's like, it is a learning curve for me now. And that's why I say now I'm finally getting myself together now that I was in my late 30s going into 40, getting myself together. But that's why I wanted to open the door for other women, other men, to talk about where they are in life, no matter what it's about, relationships, working, education, parenting kids a lot, because I feel even with single women having not having kids, that's another conversation. I feel that society beats down on you and tell you
we are definitely
yeah, your own family
conversation.
Yes, like Thanksgiving is coming, Christmas is coming. It's people that are regretting gotta go to the family dinner. Girl, don't let me start. Folks that gotta go to the family dinner, they gonna be regretting, because you single, you still single? You ain't got no baby? Why not? Yeah. And then you wonder why it's so many women suffering from anxiety and depression. It's your own family is putting it on you. They putting this stress on you, telling you you got to live to the stereotype. You're a Black young woman under 35. Why aren't you married? Why don't you got a house full of kids? You know, like, okay, so you're not normal. You can't, you don't have a husband and kids. You're not normal. I got a problem with that. But that's something that we put off on people. And then we tell them, oh, you'll be all right. Just suck it up and go sit in the corner. You'll be, after you done belittled them, you know. And then you got women that, even if the ones that's married, but what if they can't have kids for fertility reasons, or their spouse may not want kids? And people be like, well, you and John been married 5 years and y'all haven't had no kids together. What if they don't want none? You know, it's like
you have, people are really insensitive of people's feelings nowadays. People like to just say what they want, and you know, back in the day, older people, they say whatever comes to mind, you know, and didn't care. I'm telling you, my great aunt, but my auntie, baby, God rest her soul, she would tell you some stuff and wouldn't care. And she from Mississippi, baby. So yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. But it's definitely a shame how insensitive people really are. Me and my cousin on my father's side, me and him was the last two. We're the same age, who didn't have children on our side. So everybody was, and then both of us got a divorce around the same time. So yes. So everybody probably was like, okay, well, they ain't gonna have no kids no time soon. Well, he just got, well, he got a divorce, and now he was in another relationship or whatever. And he just had a little girl. So I texted him, I said, cuz, so now you done put all this pressure on me. I'm the last one. So I'm like, look, don't nobody come to me about it. Don't say anything to me about it. When it's time, it's time. If it doesn't happen, let me deal with that. I will be okay with that. Me and God already had a conversation. I'm good. So, yeah. Ain't nobody telling me nothing about my life that God ain't already told me. So,
yeah. You just said a whole sermon. I wish I had an offering plate to pass it. You already said it's because your story was already written. You just not getting to the certain chapters in it, but your story was already written when you was in your mother's womb. So it's
and
no
one surprise. Thing that you keep saying that you wish you would have started a little sooner. You right where you supposed to be at. You right there at that moment. This is the moment that God wanted to start using you in that. He couldn't use you then. You know what I'm saying? Your mind wasn't ready for it. So if you would have started back then, you probably would have thought it was a failure. You know what I'm saying? So you right where you're supposed to be.
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah, I receive that. I do. I receive that because that's something I keep beating myself down for, is being like, you girl, you wait till you get 39 to want to take this leap of life, you know. But I love it where I'm at now, but I'm just like, CD, why didn't you, what was you doing at 28, you know, but.
But see, God, that's why people say, you know, he worked in mysterious ways. You know, you wasn't ready for it then, you know what I'm saying? And then now, I just to think about it, if you would have already started it, I probably wouldn't have been motivated to go ahead and start mine. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how he works.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. I receive it. And I'm glad that we able to go through this journey together, because there's not a lot of Black women that can sit down and talk about different business ideas and business. Yes. I call it and bounce business endeavors off them. I'm in a lot of groups, and it's a lot of women say, well, I'm looking for somebody that I could just even talk stuff through, you know, and get it out of my head, because all my friends, they don't want, if they not into this, they looking at me like I'm crazy. They don't want to talk about this, you know. Like one of my girlfriend and I, we've been going back and forth all week about who gonna do her website, you know, and we've been back and forth about the colors and that. But it takes somebody that's in that entrepreneurship, like you said, even when you dating, that understand why you up at 2 a.m. Somebody that's not there, they like, I don't care nothing about who gonna do your website and what color, right, and why you
exactly, yes.
But yes. I understand
you have to be
why she was frustrated.
People. You have to surround yourself
like
that.
I understand why she was at that point. But like you say, if you're talking to the wrong person, they be like, why are you talking to me about a website? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Shen, I am glad that we got a chance to chat it up again. I'm definitely going to have you back for some more. And we got to, you know, especially once you launch, we want to launch your podcast, Shade the Girls. We definitely have to celebrate that and let everyone know that it launches. Yes. So I'm going to be letting people know the day and time when it launches, because we have to celebrate that.
Okay. Yes, I'm excited.
Did you have any last thoughts that you wanted to share with them?
I just say, just be yourself, be open to dating, be open to a new world. You know, you've been so stuck in your hometown and things like that. Just be open.
I agree. Yes, I agree. Good stuff. Well, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Unapologetically Living. We have more guests lined up. They all are on fire, just like Shen. Y'all know my personality. I can't have no boring folks. I gotta have people that got some. They got something to talk about. Right? We ain't got time to be talking about gardening. No shade to the green thumbs. But you know,
we don't do that.
We're gonna always reach out to the people that really wanna lay their heart, their mind, and talk about life. And that's what this is about: unapologetically living. Live in your truth, no matter who it offends. All right. As I always say, be your best self. Unapologetically. Make your own memories. Make your own opportunities. I'm out, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.